everybody. Welcome to Tadaima Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpinito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Cepeda.
Ibrahimase.
Hi, everybody. It's a new hit single. And Colin Sparling.
When you dropping that hot new single, fam?
About to drop the bass.
Drop the bass. Have you guys ever been in a love triangle?
How did we go from EDM to dropping bass to a love triangle? Colin, I just need to know what your brain did.
Well,
to get
there
to
are
that.
A lot of EDM songs about love.
That's true.
Are they about love triangles?
Yeah.
I don't know. Remember dubstep?
Wait, what are we talking about?
This week, we're talking about Tokyo 2019 2020, episode 7, Woman to Treat and Woman to Split the Check. It's a very on the nose kind of name, if I remember right. Jack kind of alluded to a lot of this last week, just kind of off the cuff. And I feel like a lot of it's coming true this week. You're kind of a prophet, Jack.
Just a guess. Lucky guess.
Yeah. No, this episode's a weird one.
The winds of change are happening, y'all.
Yeah. And for me, it finally confirms that I was right to hate Ruka. But we'll get to that.
We don't get a whole lot of Ruka in this episode, though.
Yeah, he's gone on a trip. I was enjoying the break from him. Because
the Ruka-less house.
Yeah, it's been Ruka heavy, so...
It has, but he's been in Hokkaido for most of this episode, which I'm more than okay with personally. But let's start from the start, right? We start with a panel recap. They just kind of remind us about everything that happened in the last episode. And they mention here in the beginning, and this is something I wanted to hone in on a little, is that they thought Kaori and Haruka are a bit like clicky. They think that they're tag teaming against Risako very obviously. I feel like that's a real bad take. Just like clear misanalysis.
Especially with what we learn later from Kaori herself about how she feels about the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah. It just, I don't know. Like, we've occasionally disagreed with the panel. I just felt like this one was just so weirdly off base. I was like, I can't not mention it.
I get where they're coming from, though. I mean, because they went up there with the expressed intent of separating Risako from Kenny. And then Kaori was the agent of change in that, having her go up, you know, stairs and say, hey, let's go get something to drink. It was just seemed, I mean, it was underhanded a bit, right?
Mm. Yeah, but I love that Kaori in the episode was just like, yeah, I'm kind of just giving non-advice until someone decides to just fuck right off.
Basically, like,
it's such a Japanese way.
I'm just giving nonchalant advice that means nothing until they just get the picture.
I did take notes on that because I did want to bring it up when we got there, but since it's up right now, I just want to talk about that for a second. It's like, yeah, she's like, well, I'm hoping Haruka just notices that I'm not giving good information, so she stops coming to me with this stuff. And it's just like the most passive aggressive way to ever even address that. Like, how about just like talking to her and saying you're uncomfortable with this stuff? It just is like they're trying to avoid any kind of shred of awkwardness. And so I don't know, I guess it seemed a little immature coming from Kaori, from what I would hope she would act like. Hansan wouldn't have done that, I guess. Hashtag.
Like, what is she supposed to say? Like, hey, stop coming to me with your problems because I'm not invested in them. Like,
yeah,
that's going to make things more awkward than anything else. That's going to be destroy the house.
What would Hansan do if she's getting the Hansan, you know, tag here? You know, I would think he would just be open and honest. Like, I don't want to be put in between you two. I don't know. I can't purport what Hansan would do, but he would find a way.
Here's what I'll say. Yeah. So, to me, the way I read this is a very, it's a Japanese way of thinking in that, you know, the nail that stays up gets hammered down, right? This is the kind of thing where it's like a personal sacrifice I'm willing to make for the betterment of the house, of the group dynamic, right? In that for her, I'm not going to make things weird by putting a divide between me and Haruka, right? I'm just going to sit there, take it, waste my time with her, I guess, and And I would argue, I think Han-san would do something similar. Because think about how long it took him to be pretty direct with what Natsumi was doing in the house. Like, he would always kind of talk around it and be like, you know, maybe you should consider other people sometimes.
Yeah, I guess, you know? If I'm giving advice to a friend, like, you know, we were talking about last week where Daily kind of has a role with her friends where they come to her for advice. Like, I guess if I was giving advice to a friend, I've just never deployed, and I'm not saying Daily did either. I don't know. You tell us. But I never deployed that tactic that Kaori's doing right now. Like, oh, I'll just sit through this and not give great advice until this stops, until they figure it out on their own. I don't think I've ever done that before. So I was surprised to see Kaori do that. But again, she's in a different position than I've ever been in. So who knows how I'd react in that.
I think that it's one of those things where she doesn't really want to get any more involved than she already is, but she also doesn't want to make it awkward. So I think in that situation, really the only thing you can do is smile and nod if you don't want to get any more involved and put a pin in it.
I was going to say, I think we're markedly making a mistake in saying that, like, Haruka is coming to Kaori looking for advice. I don't think she is. I think she's just wanting to vent, wanting to talk. Mm-hmm. And you don't want someone to be like, well, you should do this, when you're just wanting to vent, wanting to talk.
Good point. And that's a common mistake that men make all the time. Broader topic here, when like someone is coming in with their problems, kind of like the guy mentality is, oh, there's a problem, I need to fix it. And it's really like, no, maybe you just need to like sit back and listen. And
there's empathize. A problem. Yo, I'll fix it.
Yo, I'll solve it. Stop. Check out the something while my DJ revolves it.
Stop.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, guys, stop trying to fix everybody's problems, guys out there. Just listen. Sit down, listen, empathize, give them a hug, get some hot chocolate.
Sometimes that's all I need.
Yeah, all it just is. Just be a wall and absorb the problems. You don't need to regurgitate.
Yeah. You can, you can help people by just listening.
Nod along. Show that you're listening. That's it. That can sometimes make a huge difference.
Nod along.
And my favorite, phone. No shit. That's crazy.
Just record yourself saying that for 10 minutes and just play the track.
I saw this tweet the other day. It was like, okay, if I said that's crazy twice throughout your story, you need to start wrapping it up.
Nice. That's crazy, Colin.
Yeah, Colin, that's crazy.
Crazy, man.
Time to wrap it up.
And now I have anxiety.
So let's jump into the beginning of the episode, right? We come back to where episode 6 ended pretty awkwardly, where we were on the roof, Haruka, Kenny, and Risako. That energy was so palpable, and I feel like this was kind of a letdown, because I expected things to be really awkward when it came back, and instead Haruka's just like, I'm going to go to bed.
Goodbye.
It's like they just cut the scene right before she joined everyone else to go to bed. You know? Mm-hmm.
My reaction was, I was like, oh shit, we're picking up right here on the roof, and then nothing happened. Just
they wait till later in the episode to start throwing punches. We're getting there soon though, but I do want to talk about Risako and Kenny here.
Yeah. So here in this moment, Kenny and Risako are talking now. It's just them. And Kenny's under the impression that Haruka likes Ruka, which I dropped my pen. I get, right?
Shocking.
Yeah, it's very shocking. I dropped my pen. But I get that, right? Because obviously she's been going for Ruka. And in this moment, Risako gets that that feeling, that idea that maybe Haruka does, in fact, like what she likes very often.
She's finally noticing. She's catching on.
They're similar.
Their interests are a Venn diagram that is just a circle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so far, it kind of has been that self-fulfilling prophecy where Haruka is chasing after what someone else has.
Yeah.
And she admits it, too, that she's got that. And then Kaori even like kind of smacked her on the wrist for it. Like, yeah, you're being territorial. Like, cut it out.
Oh. Yeah, 100%.
I was just so surprised during this scene, like how straight up both Risako and Kenny were like, Risako was just like, yeah, I feel like she always goes after what I'm going after. And that I felt like was like a heavy, like, wink, wink, Kenny. Hey, I think you're pretty neat. We're sitting here at like 2:30 in the morning.
Went totally talking. Over his head. Promise
yeah.
you.
And instead, he just was like very bluntly like, I thought, you know, Haruka and I wouldn't mesh at first, but no, it works out pretty well. And Risako, I just like, I swear I saw like her heart just break inside of her eyes. It was just like, oh, okay. Tell me how you really feel.
So this lays the seeds for something where I just think I would disagree a lot with how Kenny approaches dating. And I think it just might be that he's a lot older than me. And so maybe there's a generational gap. And also just Japan is a lot more conservative as a nation in general. But he seems like the kind of guy who pictures the perfect wife as someone who would make him a sandwich. And that's kind of it.
Support him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that I feel like I have enough information about him to really make that assumption.
Because in this scene, you know, he talks about that initial date with Haruka, right? And he says that he thinks she, like, essentially he's saying she's a little too independent and that she has her own very strong passions. I have my own very strong passions. I don't like to date a woman who has strong passions that would disagree with
me. She marches to the beat of her own drum. I mean, in a relationship, there is a power dynamic, and oftentimes it's kind of unspoken within the relationship. I've noticed that, you know, through my life, there have been, looking back now, there have been times where, you know, the term who's wearing the pants, right? I don't really like that term, but that's the easiest way to communicate what I'm talking about. Like, there have been, you know, I think I've realized over time in relationships that I typically tend to be the person that is in control of things. And if it doesn't work that way, then it tends to just, we just butt heads and it just doesn't, we don't flow, right? We don't gel well. So I kind of get where he's coming from, like, because I have in the past, you know, considered dating prospects, but then they were very strong headed, they wanted to be in control of everything. And I just knew, like, before even getting a relationship with them, I was like, this would not work because we just would not, again, mesh well. So I think that's what he's worried about, is that she's the kind of person who wants to be in control. He tends to be the kind of person in control. And so he's just thinking it wouldn't work.
I do think we do see later too, when after they go to like the concert and then go out to eat, I feel like he was almost a little uncomfortable with like how forward, you know, Haruka just being Haruka. Like, the way she knows every old man on the face of the planet and asks very, very direct questions and is not afraid to bring up subjects that are long past gone.
And Babazona also brings up that if Haruka hears any kind of, like, problem with your work ethic or your goals or anything like that, she's going to punch you right in the face right then and there and nip it in the bud. And, like, you better snap out of it, right? Isn't that what Toki said? She'll shake the baby and be like, snap out of it.
Yeah, right.
Get back on
your
goals. And so, I mean, that can be very motivating as a friend. It's just, you know, when you're in a relationship, it's a different kind of dynamic. So I think that's what he's bringing up here personally.
Yeah. Well, so I guess we'll get to the second bit of where I like that kind of bolsters my opinion of that later. But for now, we go through the intro, the bad, which I've started to call the shitro in my notes. The shitro. It gets it across pretty well. We're in the first floor. Haruka, Kenny, Kaori, and Risako are there. And it's a bit of a split, like some people are in the living room, some people are in the kitchen. But Kenny's teaching Risako how to do pour over, and then Haruka calls out while he's teaching Risako to do pour over. She calls out and says, "Hey, are you free the 20th? Are we still good to go to that show?"
Like, hey, you remember that too much fun over there?
Hey, remember that date that we're gonna be on? That's just you and me and not Risako.
Kenny, gonna take an opportunity to shove this in her face right now.
Kenny, I'm over here. Don't forget.
I've said it like 3 times, but hey, we're still going, right? Yes, Kenny, how are you going? Kenny?
Oh my god.
It seemed so desperate. It seemed like so notice me senpai, kind of.
It was like, yeah, it was like a dog that you just told that we're going to go on a walk.
Yeah.
And then they just don't stop jumping up and down until you leave.
Yikes. Right.
So 2 things I want to point out in this interaction between the two. One, Haruka just out of the blue says, "I want to see this ukulele player." And I thought, oh shit, is that going to be Yusuke? Which we now know, yes, it's going to be Yusuke. And in my brain, I'm thinking a producer totally told her to say, like, hey, just say you're excited about the ukulele player.
Ukulele.
Yeah.
Make sure you say that.
Because he doesn't even play the uke, at least in the show. Like, no. Maybe he plays it in another part of the set. But so that was kind of weird. That just felt a little bit like, there's the producer talking in the ear, you know?
I didn't notice that, but until you said that just now, it makes sense.
Yeah. Second thing I want to say here is that this is just, I guess, an illustration of why I think maybe they wouldn't work out, Haruka and Kenny. Kenny says, so after, if it goes late, do you want to come home? And her response is, no, actually, I want to go to this Okinawan restaurant.
Mm.
He's like, oh, you
know, I know another, the guys okay. there. They're very old. I know them all.
Yeah. It's just, it's another minor disagreement there, but I feel like that is maybe why at the end of this episode, Kenny is leaning more toward Risako than Haruka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the
small yeah, scenes. She really feels like Haruka is pulling Kenny along here. Just kind of shoving him in the... What's that? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Shoving him in the what?
No. Just kind of like shoving him in a certain shoving? Direction, like to Jack's oh. point earlier.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Haruka's got a lot going on. You know, she's a dynamic personality. She has a lot of cool hobbies, and guess what? She's pretty much good at everything she does.
She is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she applies herself well, and so she's just one of those A types, you know? And you don't want to get in her way when she wants something, it seems.
No, yeah, I driven. Mean, she's certainly driven, yeah.
I mean, when we're saying all this about, like, oh, she was, like, very forceful with, like, Kenny and said, like, no, I want to go to this. This isn't saying that's a negative thing. Right, it's just right. probably right. not as gelling well with Kenny's point of view of
right.
as to what he expects out of dating.
Yeah. 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 To me, that's not a negative thing at all. To me, that's like, oh, we're no. reaching a, like, a compromise. You know, we're reaching right. something that we both want.
An understanding.
But for him. For him, I could see that being like, oh, that's an, that, you know, he writes down on his notes, not great.
Can I talk about something with the scene we're on now?
Not great.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having conversation on the couch. Kenny comes over there. Risako joins them and asks Haruka, do you have a phone charger? And I love this part because Haruka is like, yeah, upstairs. She's like, don't sit down, go upstairs, the charger's up there. And she's like, oh, maybe someone else has one. And she's like, this is where I see the jabs and the jostling, right, and the juking going on between them there. And then Risako kind of takes a jab and making sure Haruka is certainly within earshot, and she goes to Kenny and is like confirming date details, right, like, are we still doing that, the date and time? And she's like, oh,
so Haruka
made
that-
the face.
If that's a jab, this next thing she does is like pulling a gun. Because mm-hmm. not only does she confirm the details,
yes.
but then she asks both Kaori and Haruka,
yes.
where should Kenny and I go yes, to lunch on dude. Our date where it's only me and
dude,
Kenny?
I think it was very purposeful because this is past the part where we realize that Risako realizes what's going on. Haruka mm-hmm. is after whatever she likes. So I think this is very on purpose. She's like, oh, so where do you think we should go? Where do you think we should go? Anyone? Any suggestions for me and Kenny's date? It was
yeah, like,
whoa.
Okay, chill.
I'll cut a bitch.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, I mean, Kenny can't be completely oblivious to what the hell's happening here, right?
I don't know. I don't underestimate that. It's a possibility.
Right?
I surf and music. Not.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting pretty clear at this point to most everyone in the house that Haruka and Risako are fighting over someone.
Do you guys feel like at this point it would be his responsibility to make a move one way or the other so that the sake of the peace could be preserved?
Well,
No.
To say that's a responsibility kind of makes it sound like
yeah.
it's the man's job to quell this danger, you know. To me, it's more like it's kind of a shitty situation all around. Kind of everyone's in the wrong for making this such a big deal.
I just think Kenny doesn't have any idea at all.
Yeah, I think he's an idiot.
He's just oblivious. I think he's smart. I just think he's oblivious to this.
He's an idiot in
this
love.
Situation. He's just like, yeah. Oh, cool. We're all hanging out. It's nice.
This is nice.
Because he doesn't know the girls are having those back, you know, conversations about how they all like him now, and or two of them like him now, and they don't like the other guys. He doesn't know any of that stuff.
So last thing I want to hone on in this scene is that this is after Haruka goes to bed, but Risako asks Kaori straight up, hey, is there anything that's bothering you in the house? And first off, Kaori is just straight up like, absolutely yes. There's yes. so many things. But then Risako kind of asks it a little more pointedly, to which Kaori responds, like, I'm just worried that you and I aren't becoming closer as friends, and I'd like to change that, which is a great response. But also she mentions that Risako spends a lot of time with just the boys, like in the boys' room. And This is further illustrated when Kaori goes to bed. You hear Kaori and Haruka giggling upstairs, and Kenny's like, mm. Oh, are you going to join them?
Yeah.
And Risuko says, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I have to hang out with the women's.
That's Yikes. Not what it's about in this point, Risuko.
No.
Like,
no. It is very telling.
Don't make it like
saying,
that.
Yeah, her saying that is very telling. I mean,
no, it
takes two to tango, right? It takes two to tango. Like the girls, Kaori and Risako need to do what they do to separate, but then also Risako has to be unwilling to bond with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not all mm-hmm. one person's fault.
Yeah,
exactly. Like I think it's very obvious that there's a strained relationship there, and then she's just defending it by saying that she's going to hang out with the boys. We've seen in Terrace House past that usually the common thread when a girl in the house is hanging mostly with the guys is because there's drama happening with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Maya.
Yeah, Maya. Cough, cough. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen this before. We know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think it's just something that it's very subtly pointed out, but it's like, oh, there is a fight that's going to happen. Something big is going to happen in this house. It might not be about socks, but it's going to be about something.
A storm's a brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Kenny's coffee.
It's Kenny's socks.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Minion socks. Oh,
Stop it. Never.
So we cut to another night, I assume. It just seems like it's a different day. We're in the first floor again, and it's just Shohei and Kaori, and this is where Kaori kind of unloads about Haruka. And, you know, we've already talked about how she kind of feels about, you know, she's being very passive with her advice. What I want to point out here, this is a neat dynamic in that, because, like, I've been in the similar shoes, and Daily's been in similar shoes, where we're like the listeners, right? And mm-hmm. I've personally found a lot of times when you're the listener for a lot of people, rarely do you have someone who's the listener for you.
Mm.
You know, you rarely have someone to unload your problems onto because you're taking everyone else's.
Mm.
And in this moment, we actually have Kaori, who is the listener, but also can unload to Shohei, who is her listener. And it's kind of a nice dynamic. I like where that's going with their friendship.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to turn into something? Question mark?
We'll see.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
That's my take right now on the Shohei Kaori is.
It's a very shaky. And then we cut to yet another day in the first floor. Maybe like I don't know. Time's weird and amorphous in this. But it's Shohei and Ruka in this scene at first. Or Risuko, not Ruka, because Ruka's off to Hokkaido. It's like written on the blackboard. Shohei and Risuko there. Risuko looks nice. She's dressed up a bit. Her hair is, you know, straightened out, a little bit cut.
Oh.
And then Kenny walks in wearing a Hawaiian shirt, because of course this fucker is wearing a Hawaiian shirt of all shirts.
While we're talking about his appearance real quick, just around the table, long jeans and flip-flops, discuss.
No.
I didn't like it. I didn't
He's really trying to sell hard on the whole Hawaiian thing.
I didn't like it.
I don't think it's a fashion faux pas.
I don't know. As someone who's been to the Philippines many, many times, half Filipino, that just feels wrong in my blood.
Oh, I thought you were going to say was right. I thought you were going to say it's so common in Philippines. So, wow. Okay.
No, it just feels like, I mean, I guess because in the Philippines, it's always hot. So you're always wearing shorts anyway, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. There's something weird about it. I was like,
something about a grown man in flip-flops in public that I just don't like in general.
Men can't wear flip-flops.
I wear flip-flops all the time.
In Australia, for the Australian people listening, it's the thong we're talking about. Your thongs. Mm-hmm. So,
I think I have a gap between my big toe and my second toe because of how much I've worn thong flip-flops.
Okay, I'm going to put a moratorium on this discussion because we have the word thong and gap very close to each other, and we're just going to...
Now we're talking about feet. Let's stop. Anyway, so
let's talk about...
So
guys,
Kenny's
let's talk
like, you're beautiful.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about butt floss now?
Nope. Wait, so what? No. Specifically, no. Kenny says, oh, you look more girly.
Got it.
Mm.
And that's, that for me is what I'm thinking, like... Yeah, he definitely wants a submissive sandwich making girl.
Looking girly doesn't mean submissive.
Well, no, but it's just that,
a leap too far, man.
No, because this is something that he hones in on, like, pretty much the entire date.
Yeah,
he talks about is like, oh, you look so girly, you look so feminine now, you are a woman to me.
He's having that realization, right?
It comes across like that, exactly. He's realizing that, wow, I'm attracted to you.
Wait.
Like, is it literally just because she's in a dress? Because, like, I thought all the time she's pretty girly. She has her nails done up, long nails. She wears color contacts, makeup, eyelashes, etc. Like, even if she's in sweats, I don't think that she's not dressing feminine.
I agree with you.
I'm guessing here it was probably the dress. It was probably that her hair was, like, really done. It wasn't just, like, you know, tied up in a bun or whatever. And then, yeah, she is usually wearing loungewear and something easy to jump off of buildings in. And so now she looks like she's, yeah. She dressed up like that's she's going on a date. You know, she dressed up like she's going on a date. So she is treating this as a date and she likes him and she's trying to kind of hit on him. And so she's going all in here. And so I'm at least relieved that he noticed. It would be really sucky if he, I think he'd be kind of, she would be sad if he didn't say anything. I think she liked the compliments personally.
Oh yeah.
I guess part of me is being colored by this a lot just because. So I read this this person on Medium who kind of does like an in-depth understanding of the Japanese translation. I think I've mentioned it before, but I actually have the name of this blog now if you want to check it out. It's at Terrace House Analysis on Medium. So this person is a professional translator, Japanese to English and so forth. And in the first week when they watched the first episode, they mentioned that in the subtitles, it seems like Kenny is maybe a little chill. But when you look at the literal translation, he says some things like he basically is looking for a woman who will always walk behind him. Essentially.
Ooh.
I mean, I think it's a common thing too. I don't think it's that uncommon. You know. So.
No. But I agree that it's not uncommon, but that's a very choice way of putting it versus like a partner beside me.
I didn't read this article, so I would hate, and I know people are doing it because we're on a podcast, but I really would hate for anyone to take every single word I say all the time under the microscope because it's just so easy to take it out of context. So that's what we're kind of doing to him too. So it's like, I say, let's let his words and deeds and actions on the show speak for themselves, you know, is my thought on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not calling him a misogynist or anything like that. I just think that he's coming off as a little bit older fashioned in how he's looking, like how he's dating around and how he's what he looks for in a woman, which is fine. I'm just personally feeling like I don't know if I gel with him in that.
I think it's good to know what you need and what you want in a relationship and then find someone that fits that. And there's somebody out there for you. It's damn near, 7.5 billion people on the planet. There'll be somebody there that wants to, that'll be a good fit for him, I hope.
I mean, yeah, as long as treat some right, I suppose.
Yeah, treat each other right. Be happy.
Yeah.
As far as apparel goes in this scene, I wanted to mention something because I was like, this seems pretty blatant. So they go to this, like, some kind of shop. At first they were like, oh, it's like camping. And then it's like, no, it's like fashion, like Captain's Helm where they get like the coffee set that they're going to gift to their moms. And I noticed that the night of the roof party, like Kenny was decked out in all Captain's Helm.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
It was like a hoodie and matching joggers that just said Captain's Helm, Captain's Helm, Captain's Helm, Captain's Helm.
No shit.
And he
likes his brands.
I've seen someone else now wearing Captain's Helm. So I'm not saying there's a brand deal, but
it seems
maybe there's a brand deal.
Well, it'd be weird if it wasn't. It's like, this dude, is Terrace House turning into like NASCAR or F1 now where they're just going to wear like corporate logos up and down their sleeves? You know what I mean?
Kind of sort of. So a little bit of behind the scenes here. So Kenny's art alias is Kenny Surf. And so hashtag Kenny Surf is a thing. And he actually collaborated with, you'll see him wearing the brand Sunset Coast pretty often on the show. He actually collaborated with them. What's that?
Wasn't that the mug that he had? His favorite mug on the roof?
He also has Sunset a shirt. Coast?
Yeah, he also has a shirt. So they collaborated with hashtag Kenny Surf, and they basically took his art and put it on a t-shirt for Sunset Coast.
That's cool.
And you could buy them for a while. It was like a crowdfund campaign or some shit like that. I saw it on his Instagram. And then he also teamed up with Hydro Flask, of all things, and did like a special edition water bottle with his art on it.
Everyone in Seattle owns a Hydro Flask, so that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The only thing I don't like about this is, like, I want to know who they are, and a part of who you are as a person is kind of like what you choose to wear and how you choose to present yourself. And so the more like they get paid to wear certain things, I feel like the less I'm understanding about what they actually would have worn that Tuesday. You know, it's like it's just like, I want to get to know you. I don't want to get to know how you make money.
Could you imagine, like, Terrace House season 10? They're just sitting in the kitchen and they're like, I don't want to cook. Well, you know, we have the Blue Apron in our fridge.
Oh my gosh, they look into the camera like,
that's the fear. Like, they're like, oh, there's Reiwa era Asahi super dry beer. Let's drink, you know, like all the product placement and shit. Like, please don't do this to me, Terrace House. Don't.
Actually, I just put it in an order with HelloFresh. Now, let me tell you about getting fresh meals 3 times a day delivered right to my door.
They're not paying us anything, Colin. Stop.
Where do they
store VPN?
Not paying us.
Stop saying names. So, also, where does this end? Are they going to just start wearing clothes with fucking QR codes on them now? Like, holy fuck.
I like it.
Are they going to be QR codes around
wearing
the
NASCAR
scene?
Jumpsuits with all the sponsors on
That's
them.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like it.
Speaking of sponsoring, I thought it was very sweet that Kenny was like, oh, I'm going to get you coffee. You forgot to get coffee beans. You just got this grinder set for your mom. I'll get them for you.
Mm-hmm. Thumbs up, man.
Just straight up, like, it's my present to you, to your mom.
I don't know.
Very sweet.
After them hanging out, I like them together. They seem very compatible. They had fun. I see them meshing better than when he hangs out with Haruka. Maybe not as much as Kaori. I think he has a connection with Kaori, unlike the other two women in the house. But I like them together. Ryusaku had a great time. He was chivalrous, and she brings that up too. She liked how chivalrous he was. And it's been a long time since she was treated that way.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, definitely won points.
Yeah, like, overall, sure. I think their date did go pretty well. And you obviously, Ryusaku very much liked it because she uses the date to jab way more later. So we're in the first floor. We're in the kitchen. It's all the girls. Haruka just gets home. And Kaori just happened to be asking Ryusaku about how the date went. And good thing Haruka got home in time to hear a lot more about Risuko's date with just Kenny. To which Ryusaku was just like, she said everything except I love him, basically. You know what I mean? Like, she gushed.
Dude.
Yeah, this is like basically Kenny can have her anytime he wants at this point. It comes off that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She's smitten.
Yeah,
for sure.
We do get that salty line, though, where when Ryusaku is saying, like, oh, he paid my meal and I didn't even notice. To which Haruka kind of, like, almost too quickly says, maybe it's because a 13-year-old wouldn't let a 20-year-old pay for my meal. Quote, that's just my take.
Dude, I was liking this. This was a battle here. They were definitely trading blows, and I was like sitting in my seat. I was kind of squirming a little bit, like, oh god, it's good.
There's for sure a knowledge there. It's not just like naivete, like, oh, I was just really excited about the date that I had, so I just wanted to tell you about it. It's like a very purposeful, like, and he paid. Did he pay for your date?
Oh, shit.
Like, she was just shy of asking that, basically.
Yeah.
If this was real world, there would have been a fist fight.
Yeah. And then Kaori looks at her phone and says, like, oh, I have to leave and make a phone call, to which I'm like, no, don't leave, don't leave.
Get out. I think she was reading the room and it's like, get me out of here, too.
I'm getting out of here.
Yeah. I would do the same.
So she's gone. Kenny comes home, and Kenny. This is maybe in my top 5 someone coming home moments. I think we've mentioned a few before. There was Taka who's like ta ima, right?
Yeah, ta ima.
And then there's this. Kenny opens the door. Risako notices first and says, "Oh, Kairi." And he responds, What's up?
He's all red face. You can see his cheeks.
I come into the house.
Thought he was going to be rubbing his hands together. What's up?
Yeah. That meme? It's like that meme when you have $20 and then at McDonald's. With like Birdman.
What's up?
So
Oh my god. Boy is gone.
He's drunk. So drunk.
D-R-U-N-K.
So when he gets home, he like goes to wash up or whatever. But he says he'll be back to join the girl talk, right?
Girl talk.
And while he's gone, there's just enough time for Risako to say to Haruka's face, "Hey, I know you and I like the same things. Isn't that funny?" And then Kenny walks in.
The tension.
I hate this.
I love it.
I hate it.
I loved it. I was snacking on this.
Yeah, it's just
snacking on it.
There's so much salt there, and I like Haruka had no time to respond. He was like, "Oh, is that so?" And then like Kenny walks in, and it's so good. This is great.
The worst part for me though was it was just over the top. It was like too much all around. Was her Risako being like, "Thank you for paying," like very formally, like bowing in her seat to drunk Kenny, who's just like red faced and sitting back and unfocused, and he's just like, "Oh yeah, sure.
So this part, Kenny is drunk. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. He has to be up at 4 a.m. to drive to Okinawa, I think he said.
Was it Osaka?
It was an Okinawa. Yeah. You can't drive to Okinawa.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's like driving to Hawaii. It's Osaka, yeah.
Yeah, Osaka. And so she's like, "Don't worry, I'll just sleep in the car there. I really don't want to play a show tomorrow. I'm done.
And then Haruka gets the demon eyes.
Yeah, and Haruka's like, "Wow, okay, never mind. You can have a Risako. Bye."
Whew. That was the moment, right? And she talks about it later with Kenny in the show, but that was the moment where she thought that maybe Kenny wasn't for her. All of these jabs hitting her at once. It's like, you can see it in her face too, because she's very emotive, right? The panel brings up, like, she does not hide anything. Whenever something happens, she's just like, "Oh, you know, oh, do you really like him?" She's just so wears her heart out there on her sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Body language is very clear.
Absolutely. So in this moment, there's a moment while Risako is gone. I think she goes to the bathroom. And Haruka asks Kenny how his day was. And this is like drunk Kenny. So absolutely no filter. And he just gushes like, "Today was really fun. Risako was very different today in a good way. I was a little bit doki doki. A little bit excited."
Gosh.
Yeah. That must have been another gut punch for Haruka, right? But I feel
like he never has that filter. Like he just straight up tells people. And that's why I do think that, yeah, he just is totally oblivious to the strife over his attention between Risako and Haruka at the moment.
Right. We go to the panel here. They're loving it as much as we are. The conflict, the drama, the Haruka's picturesque facial expressions per Tokui. What I find odd, though, is this is maybe just a misread on their part, but they think Kaori doesn't want to choose a side here. But I kind of get the vibe it's more like she just wants it to be over ASAP. You know?
Yeah, she just doesn't want to deal with it.
Let the bleeding end.
Like, I guess I wrote down a couple like things that I noticed that are like, I kind of think Kaori isn't outright taking Risako's side in this, but I think she's very much not rooting for Haruka, despite the fact that Haruka comes to her, right? Because while, you know, in the last scene we just talked about, you know, Kaori comes back downstairs later to, like, talk with everyone. And she asks Risako and Kenny in front of Haruka, "Hey, how was your date?" Which I kind of took as, yeah, can you just remind Haruka again real quick, like, how good your date was today without her? You know?
Yeah, I get that. I think it's because Haruka is usually the one coming to Kaori for an ear to, like, kind of vent to. And also I feel like from Kaori's perspective, Haruka comes across as pretty tightly wound, right? Like she's really invested in very like in her own mind melodramatic about some things, right? Mm-hmm. And then like she went on that rant to Coyote about like how she, you know, she wants Kenny, and she's like, am I being territorial and blah blah blah, and you just don't see stuff like that coming from Risako as much.
I mean, yeah, and we had, I feel like the switch from Ruka to Kenny was a lot more, I guess I'd use the word blatant on Haruka's part, or it was just like, oh, I'm going to go all for Kenny now because Risako's going all for Kenny now.
I feel
like Kaori recognizes that grass is greener mentality and isn't very cool with it.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it's just annoying. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I'm Risako in this situation, it's like, dude, what the like, I would have noticed it instantly. Like, why is this happening? Why are you interested in everyone that I'm interested in all of a sudden?
I agree.
I'm interested in them.
I agree that is probably what is happening. Also, I am thinking in the back of my head, like, what is wrong with Ruka? Like, how's he driving everyone away like so fast? Like, what did he have to contribute here as well too in the shift?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll get to Ruka.
I think with Ruka, I think it's just because he's been childish for too long. It's like, it's a cute gimmick, but that's the thing with gimmicks is that they don't work in the long term. You know,
they burn bright, right away, and then they die out fast.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it was for him. He was too much of a child. Risako didn't like that, and because Risako didn't like that, Haruka didn't like that. Yeah,
and like we brought up too. Really, the nail in the coffin is that Risako doesn't think she can come to Ruka with her life problems, with her deepest, you know, innermost insecurities, things like that. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the next scene here takes place in Shirokane in Tokyo. Haruka and Kaori go to a cafe place called Blanc Noir. I love Cowdy's outfit in this, by the way. The cardigan with like the green tank top and the long skirt, the pleated skirt. Oh, it's great. But here, Haruka wants Cowdy's honest opinions about... Anyone want to take a guess what Haruka is about to vent about?
Could it be about like Pokemon?
Yeah, they talk about Pokemon for like 10 solid minutes.
Could it be about V8 engines?
She talks, of course, about Kenny. It's like one track mind almost.
Kenny Loggins.
Yep, Kenny Loggins.
The thing about this scene is that this is happening again, where Kaori is in some really good lighting. Man, she looks really good in this. They really frame the shot
angelic,
well.
Like,
super photogenic. I was like noticing her like when she smiled at the table too. I was like, man. She is lighting up the screen here, literally in this scene. I don't know. It was kind of distracting to me, to be honest. It's hard for me to read. I was like, look at that lighting. Oh, my gosh.
I wish I can't picture what scene that is. I can't picture it in my head. I'm sure you're right, but I can't see it.
I'm sure you're right. I'm always right, Connor.
Yeah. No, but, I'm having a hard time recalling it is all.
Okay. So let's dive into the meat of this scene, right? So you have Haruka, who has quote unquote snapped out of it, where she feels that Kenny finding the live show to be a bit of a bother is like, why are you complaining about your work? Especially when your work is your passion. You know, like she's very much a hard worker mentality.
She needs to meet Tap. I would love to see them go out. Let's do this. They're going to go to Costco. I'll tell you that.
They would, but just be them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Just like Tap wanted. Yeah. But so yeah, for Haruka, she's a little bit like, okay, I'm maybe thinking about giving up on Kenny, maybe, you know? And this is where we get the namesake of the episode, that she is definitely bothered by the fact that Kenny paid for Risako's meal. But when they went out, what was it, like episode 2, 3, or 4?
Mm-hmm.
When they went out, it was, let's split the bill.
Yeah, because I don't think Kenny realized that it was a date, maybe. It didn't seem like it. I don't know. But
yeah,
it has been noticed.
I do think that there's credence to what Kaori then says, is that what didn't Haruka herself say it? It's like, I don't think that, you know, a 30-year-old would let a 21-year-old pay. Like,
Right.
That's fair. That's a fair thing.
That's also true.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, there's a lot of different politicking going on here that, you know, you can't really nail down. It's just all about your interpretation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But then Kaori kind of turns the table on Haruka and asks, like, is it hard for you to talk to Risako? Because I'm worried that you two won't end up being friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, which that's is the question.
It's a wholesome worry. And it makes it, like, Kaori's just so pure. We say this every week, but she's great. Mm-hmm. I love her.
Love Kaori. Yes.
Yeah, we need like more of her, though. I feel like almost every scene we see her in, it's like she's getting vented at, right? Mm. Like, that's a majority of her scene so far. And I mean, every once in a while she gets to go out with someone and it's very quiet. And because she's not really kicking up any sort of drama, she gets overshadowed by a lot of the other stuff that's happening in the house.
That's why I enjoy the scenes with Kaori and Kenny, because they both are able to talk about their careers and mm-hmm. what they're doing, like, yeah. in equal sense.
Those have been her best moments so far.
Yeah. I have noticed that Kaori, though, not to say that she invites the venting onto herself. I think people kind of hone in on that personality and just dump anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But she's very thoughtful in that, she, you know, she asks questions, like that one time with Kenny. It's like, you know, no one likes to talk about money in the creative field, but, like, can I ask you about whatever?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff.
Love Kaori.
She's so good. And here's a moment where Haruka notices there was a couple moments where Risako would very obviously avoid going into the girls' room when it's like Kaori and Risako talking.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that might become a center of the fight if they fight. Because,
yeah,
like, when this kind of shit happens, especially on a reality TV show, six people in the house, like, this is the exact same thing that happened in O&D, right? Where Maya didn't gel mm-hmm. with O&D Risako and Yui.
Yeah.
Then they brought it up.
She was sleeping on the couch every night. Mm.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be a fight.
100%. Yeah. Definitely feels that way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what was it? Who talked about it where they were talking about how Risako was, like, standing outside the room.
Yeah, that was Haruka who said that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she was standing outside the room and just listening in on their conversation.
Yeah. And she does Haruka does a pretty good Risako impression on this, though. I will point that out. It was pretty good. It's her actor chops showing.
Yeah.
Nice.
So after their little cafe date, we go to Daikanyama Loop, where Haruka and Kenny meet up, and they go to that live show. First, we see Kaoru Miyazaki, the friend of Haruka. She does, like, folksy, poppy.
Seemed right.
I liked it.
It was right.
I liked it. It was good. And then we see the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, the Eden Kai.
Just his hands first, and then...
Yeah, you know, I was like, who's this guy? He's good. Oh, I should know who this is.
And I was like, son of a bitch. Eden Kai comes up, and we've been bringing him up a lot.
Aloha State.
Yeah, and it was cool. I mean, he's just as good as he's always been. Mm-hmm. You know, his personality is so muted that it's just, and he's still exactly the same guy, you know? So I hope the best for him. He seems exactly the same. Like, he did not skip a beat.
Yeah.
It was cool. He's
responsible for one of the saddest scenes.
Right. We won't say anything.
I mean, you know,
that's why there's
anyone who appears in Terrace House, we only get a pretty thin vertical slice of their personality. Here we got a super thin vertical slice of Yusuke, right? Mm, like, mm-hmm. even more so. So, I mean, he could have changed at this point. He's had 2 years since Aloha State, right?
We distill him down to his most awesome thing, which is guitar playing.
Right.
And he's still quiet. And now he might visit Terrace House. I would like to see that.
Same. Kenny points out, hey, you want to come to Terrace House? You should come to Terrace House.
I'll definitely go.
Come to Terrace House.
Yes.
Yeah. You want me there? Here's all right. Here's what's going to happen. Eden Kai, a.k.a. Yusuke, is going to show up at Terrace House. And then Risako is going to act very hammy towards Yusuke to throw off Haruka on her trail.
That would be a red herring. That would be a chess move right there. That would be a
play. Right.
Amazing.
And the next thing you know, Haruka is like, "Oh my god, Yusuke, I need you." And then she's like, "It's like, oh my god, yeah, Yusuke, blah blah blah." And then Haruka just goes off with Yusuke, and then she's like, "I'm gonna stay back here with Kenny."
This is like when parents, like, they pretend they like the band Cradle of Filth. So that it's cool anymore.
That's so specific. Their kids
stop listening to it. I'm just saying, like, oh, Cradle of Filth's awesome. Yeah, let's play that.
Yeah.
Like, no, mom, come on.
This isn't cool anymore because parents are listening.
You're so lame, dad.
It's like when I started dabbing. Dabbing stopped being cool.
That was the
dabbing
moment for me.
Dabbing was never cool.
That was the moment for me. No, just kidding.
Gotcha.
Dab on.
We say as we have a dab emoji in our Discord. but yeah, I'm glad that Yusuke might show up again. I also think it was wild that Yusuke and Kenny are in the same show. They're going to be in the same show June 1st.
Yeah.
Like, yo, that's cool.
Yo, collab.
That's cute.
They're just like, holy shit, I'm playing that show too.
Same.
Yeah. Oh, and also, just to point out too, Yusuke did have very recently that collab he did with Tap.
Yeah, Tapar.
They did a thing.
I hate that name.
Like guitar and tap together. Is that what that is? Tapar?
Yeah. Tapar.
I get it.
All right.
I still haven't watched that yet.
And if you were in our Discord, you would have seen it because we linked it. And so join our Discord. Boom. Mm.
There it is.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny to me that the show that they're both going to be at is called, what is it? It's Aloha Tokyo. And I'm like, of course, Kenny, the Hawaiian shirt wearing motherfucker, would perform at something called Aloha Tokyo.
Something Terrace House has taught me that I didn't think of or consider before, but there's a lot of affection and love for Hawaii from Japanese people. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I just never knew. I didn't know that they really thought fondly of Hawaii. I do too.
Yeah. It might have been a Miyazaki film or at least a Ghibli film that was Ocean Waves takes place Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, there are South a lot Koreans of, too.
Yeah. There are a lot of Japanese people that live in Hawaii actually. And which is partly why we got Aloha State. Right. And I mean, you know, I worked at Tommy Bahama, like one of the most Hawaiian, you know, like fashions on the planet. And they actually, they had a Japanese division like that just dealt with Japanese language advertising.
Wow.
So yeah,
cool.
It's cool. The fronds are well loved in Tokyo.
I think the reason why it's called Aloha Tokyo is a little bit more obvious than they're giving them credit for. It's literally Aloha State and Tokyo 2019-2020.
Oh, maybe.
You think it's like all about the fact that they're there?
Yeah,
it's a play. It's weird. A play on
Yusuke and
I would guess. Yeah,
I kind of figured it was just the name of a place.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the name of the place. Oh, I thought it was the name of like the concert. You know, I'm talking about.
All,
how they
all
have
I will
the name
say here
show.
Is last time I doubted some weird thing that Colin said, he was right.
That's true.
So I will.
The pod
I will
discussion.
Stop. Yes, pod is
listen
British,
anyway.
Apparently.
You get your pods.
Get your pods.
So after the show, Haruka and Kenny go to Tsukinu Kaisha, the Okinawan restaurant, and Haruka knows the cooks because
by the way,
she
see
does.
Those old motherfuckers over there?
72,
they're my best friend.
Of course,
72
you do.
And 47.
73.
Man,
and it was adorable though.
Also, it's not that she just knew them. It's that she's known them since she was a high schooler because she lived like right next door or something.
I gotta say, I mean, I can kind of see how Kenny would be intimidated. I don't know if intimidated is the right word, but just like, man, she's just so on top of her shit. She's better than me at golf. She's better than me at driving. She's better than me at everything. Like, what do I even have
she
to offer?
She spots an old man and she befriends him.
Yeah, like what do I even have to offer this woman? Almost, I'm wondering if he's thinking that. I don't know, because I'm just trying to sit in his seat. Like, what? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel that. So this is the scene where Haruka, she says, "Hey, that the fact that you said you don't want to do your live show. I don't know if you remember it because you were blackout drunk, but the fact that you don't want to do your live show that worries me and that really bothers me."
Yikes.
Yeah,
she points a lot.
Yeah,
did like, she?
When she says these things,
ooh,
like it's very accusatory,
very finger
like
in your chest.
There,
yeah, wow. Finger in your chest. Sort of thing.
I didn't notice.
It's funny because she brings this up, and I was like, I think she's just making something out of nothing here, right? Where it was like maybe Kenny just like this he was drunk, and he just said it in passing, right?
He didn't even remember.
Like, I'm tired. I don't want to perform.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But then after she says it, fuck me, it ends up leading to something deeper where he's like, yeah, I'm just not musically satisfied with my band anymore.
This is, I do want to talk about that, but this is the second time they've sat at a table eating food, and Haruka brings up something that really bothers her, and Kenny doesn't even remember. Do you remember? Like,
yes.
She brought up something weird, like, this might, well, we've already discussed this, I know, and he's like, oh, I don't remember, I'm sorry, and now
I don't remember much from the first week.
Yeah, this is the second time, this is a pattern.
Yeah.
So something to look at. But you're right, Colin, to go back to your point. You know, he is disenchanted with his band. I've been there, brother. I know what it's like. It's frustrating.
Same. Yeah. I don't know. It was really surprising because especially, it's funny that he says that, especially now that he's on Terrace House, right? And his band is on the cusp of getting a lot of like publicity.
Yes.
And as far as I know that they're still together. They're still a band. But it's just really crazy that like all of a sudden it's just because I never really got that sense that he was dissatisfied. And he said it was the type of music that they were playing. Isn't that what he was saying?
Well, he just said there's other music that he wants to be doing.
Mm. Right.
So it's not necessarily that the music they're making is bad. It's just that he wants to try other things.
Right. Solo He's project. Not. He wants to break out of his comfort zone a little bit or get a little bit more experimental. Maybe Spicy Soul after this becomes a little bit more experimental because of this conversation.
Prog doom metal.
Salty just, soul.
It would be insane if he just breaks out an 8-string guitar and it's just like he turns his band into a djent band.
He's been practicing his scream for years in the garage.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that Daly says salty soul.
Salty soul.
Let's do it.
Salty soul. The salty spittoon.
Something I want to point out here with Kenny, right, is that he says, like, he unloads all, like, this is a pretty heavy load, right, in terms of just personal, professional drama. He says that he doesn't even want to admit this to even his closest friends, but I'll do it on national TV, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, no like, shit. Everyone's going to see it if they watch the show.
He's like, I've got 5 weeks. My band
members are going to see it. Like,
yeah, I've got 5 weeks to quell this before they see it.
Yeah, yeah, like, can he you 100% imagine had to break this to his bandmates after this, though.
Could you imagine that conversation? You're like, hey, guys, so you're going to find out in 5 weeks, but I'm dissatisfied with this band right now. Mm. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's very, very weird.
They seem, though, from the scene where they were talking earlier on, that they all seem like there's a decent level of communication going on. Mm. So maybe he already had the talk with them, and maybe this isn't a surprise to them. Who knows?
Maybe. That's true. But so Haruka's advice to him, because now she sees him a little better. She doesn't see him as just this like lazy musician, but more of a unfulfilled musician, right? But she says she gets it because as an actress, sometimes she gets cast in things that like, that's cool, but I'd rather be doing this thing. But because
she's typecast.
Right. But because of how she looks, how she acts, she tends to be the goody two shoes no matter what.
I can see it.
But at the same time, she says this, and I quote, "But one day when you're more famous and have tons of fans, then you can do whatever music you like and they'll accept it." You know, it's this idea of doing the thing right. That people like for a while to then do something that's creatively fulfilling for yourself.
So, question about that. So, we've had like two bands so far, right? I think as far as we've watched Terrace House, we've had Shohei's band.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
Kenny's band now. And that, well, Masao. Eden Kai, I guess.
And Masao.
And Masao, that's true. Masao's probably, his band is probably the biggest one.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
But Spicy Soul, I feel like it's very similar to the music that Shohei's band made. Mm. Like, I don't know, the music, that pocket of music seems like it's very popular in Japan, right? That kind of like, what would you even call that? The genre that they play?
It's almost, I don't know, loungy? I don't know. It's
like lounge pop rock?
Yeah. Well, point. Yeah, something like that. The point being, like, maybe are they just playing stuff that's popular? Are they playing that genre of music because it is what's popular? Because if so, I mean, they could just be another band that's a dime a dozen, you know? Maybe they're not doing much different. Maybe they do need more experimentation, and maybe that's what's more that's what becomes more fulfilling to Kenny. Because like I the thing is, Haruka may be right. Yeah, like if you keep doing this thing that people like to get big because of it, that gives them way more creative freedom, way more money,
and guarantees that whatever he does otherwise, because he's already famous, is going to be successful. But if he doesn't get famous in the first place, then shit, you know? Mm. So I don't know. I think he should do whatever the hell he wants, is I guess my point.
I mean, I think it depends, right? Because like right now where he is, I think Spicy Soul would be growing, right? Because he's on TV.
Right.
Yeah, right. Right. So it'd be weird if like I saw Spicy Soul on TV for the first time. Like, let's say I lived in Japan and I saw this week and it was like, oh man, Spicy Soul. Like, I just saw Kenny perform live on that show and I only heard his vocals and I couldn't hear the rest of the instruments because the mixing was bad. But I liked the vibe. I'm going to check it out. And then when you like go to Spotify, it's like, oh, they suddenly started releasing death metal. It's kind of like, I don't know.
It's like you got a brand and you kind of got to stick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that, but they can, there's stuff that they can do within their pocket that, but they can genre bend a little bit or something. I don't know. I'm not here to give Kenny Music full advice, I guess, but
yeah,
I mean, it's something that he can do if he feels unfulfilled by his music.
Mm-hmm. And then Haruka pulls up, but wait, there's more. Mm. And says, hey, you've also were flirting like stupid hard with Risako last night. And she doesn't say it bothers her, but you get the vibe that, yeah, it bothers her.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And but at this point, though, Kenny admits that he does like Risako. Like, there's something about her more girly attitude recently that he's been getting to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. Romantically so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He even said that. Yeah.
He says also romantically because he just straight up likes her. Mm-hmm. Just thinks she's also cool, but then it's like, yeah, I'm seeing her in a romantic light now too.
Right. Yeah. So is this Haruka admitting defeat in this scene? Like, is she going to keep going, you think?
I don't see her keeping on. I don't see her doing it.
Yeah.
No, especially not after that. Yeah. Like that's got to be painful, that moment of like, and again, I'm sure it's just out of sheer ignorance on Kenny's part, but him just being like, oh yeah, yeah, I like her, says to other girl that likes him.
I'm not writing this off yet. They've got other plans to do stuff in a way. I mean, you know, she was kind of testing him there when the bill came, right? Because we know it bothered her. So she was like waiting to see. She had her $5 thing ready to go, knowing she was just going to pull back. She's like, here you go. Here's money. He goes, no, I got it. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I'll get you.
By the way, that was over $100, that bill.
That was a $100 fucking bill.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of food. It didn't look like
either. You think she'd get the neighborhood discount or something. That's my boy, you know, Blue. But
it's insane.
Yeesh.
So anyways, he picked it up and that was totally, I'm sorry if you guys disagree, but I think that was totally a test on Haruka's part. She had that money in her hand. There's no way she was intending on paying half of that. She just wanted to see what would happen. I mean, she would have done it, but she would have been crestfallen
if
he didn't pay that.
100%.
I feel like. Mm-hmm. And so she goes, well, I'll get you next time. And so.
Yeah, the next coffee date. Is the next coffee date going to be $100?
It's not an explicit, like, oh, we have a date scheduled on the books now. It's not like that. But I don't think she's given up yet, guys. I don't think she's waving the white flag.
Guess we'll find out.
So I think this would be a good time to ask this question because I wanted to save it till the end, but we're basically at the end of the Risako Haruka wars. At this point, where do your ships dock? Do your ships dock at Risakeni or Harukeni?
So
those ship names.
So far this show has taken so many twist turns and left turns. I don't know. Right now it seems like Risako and Kenny, but two episodes from now could be something completely fucking different.
Yeah, I thought they were gonna be, if you were gonna tell me those two girls were fighting, I would have thought it'd been Ruka. Like, I would have bet money not that long ago, a couple episodes ago. So who knows what's gonna happen. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility they all shift to Shohei and then they fight about him. I'm not willing to discount that yet, just how crazy the show is going. So I based on what Kenny said, you know, I just see him being more compatible with Risako and they just have more bonding. Like, it doesn't seem like they're having a great time together, Kenny and Haruka. It just seems like they're doing it just to do it. But I don't get this like great camaraderie feeling. You know, it's a lot of Haruka being disappointed. He doesn't remember stuff, being disappointed. He doesn't like his job. You know,
right.
It's just a lot of that.
He's very quiet during their dates to the first time that they went out for, what was it, burritos after that concert. It was like painful, like them sitting there and him being like, what? Oh. I didn't remember that.
I want burritos now. And also think about this. Kenny's worst moments are with Haruka on a one-on-one basis. He's the most boring.
Oh, yeah.
At those 100%. Times. He has great moments with the other girls and on his own right. So for all those reasons, if we're just choosing between these two, what was the doc called? Risa
Kenny? Risa Kenny or Haru Kenny?
Okay, Risa Kenny. I'm on that doc.
Risa Kenny.
Risa Kenny for now.
See, yeah, I think I agree with you all here, and that's Risa Kenny for sure as of right now, especially because at the end of this little date with Haruka, like, even though he's saying with his mouth, he's saying, oh, okay, cool, I get where you're coming from. I understand that you thought that maybe I was not being a professional, and I have learned a lot from this experience, and I will grow as a human being. But with his body, with his eyes, with his language, he just came off as like, this bitch.
Like the way he sits back and like leans against the wall was like, that signaled to me just like being like, done. Like, yeah. I'm so done with this.
Like, I vividly remember like one of the last shots of him after they pay the bill is he's drinking his beer and looking straight up like with his eyes. Like, he's almost rolling his eyes like, oh, fucking course. Yeah, of course this happened today. It's like,
thanks for the lecture, Dad.
It's kind of going to be frustrating for him on a certain level just because, you know, he's really physically attracted to her. There's no doubt. He mentioned it in the pool, like it's a common thing, you know, so he's just like, man, can you just stop getting on me about all this shit?
Yeah. So the next scene here, we're on the first floor. Ruka. Hey, guys.
Ruka's on this show. Ruka's here still.
Hey. Yeah, Ruka.
Yeah. And his grand reveal is that his dad is shipping crabs to the house. That's
nice.
That's so nice.
That is pretty nice.
That's really that is cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
And he also made sure there wasn't an incident because he said, feel free to eat them when they arrive.
That's true. This could have been the crab incident.
There's going to be no crab incident here.
Okay. How much crab is he sending?
He knows what he's doing. Yeah, it's got to be a lot.
I mean, enough for him to say dig in when it arrives. Like, if it was just one crab, he probably would have been like, that's mine, guys. Okay.
just like a dozen boxes crabs. Of crab.
Oh, God. Aww. Just the whole house smells like crab for the rest.
I need to learn to not do this podcast hungry because we're talking about burritos. We're talking about crab.
Burritos.
I'm starving.
Before they cut to the next scene, because Shohei asks Ruka, hey, you want to go up to the roof? I just want to hone in here. There's cantaloupe pocky in Japan, so I need to announce my resignation from the show because I'm going to Japan.
Cantaloupe pocky.
Bring me some.
You see that box? It was like, you know, the melon on the box.
I'll bet you could Amazon that here. You could do it.
Yeah, maybe.
I've had Calorie Mate shipped here. I've had Curly Whirly shipped here. To the British people, Curly Whirly, I tried it. I know about it now. Just saying.
Review.
He knows.
Review. Well, it's like this, like, so it's like, imagine these thin little strings of caramel wrapped in chocolate, like thin, like as like a pocky, but then kind of wrapped in a curl. Okay.
Oh, that sounds good.
Like a very loose braid in a wrapper.
I'm gonna shout out Tim Tams for our Australian audience out there.
Tim Tams are the shit.
Tim Tams are great.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're on the roof. Shohei Ruka. They smoking. Smoking's bad. Don't do it.
Smoking's evil.
And Ruka's grinning like all hell. I feel like that's kind of his, like, he's so bad at keeping secrets. I would never trust that man with a thing.
Dude, Ruka just keeps looking more immature and more immature here, like from this point to the whole end of the episode.
I don't understand why he kept putting it off either. Like, he was like, no, I can't talk about it now. I can't talk about
tomorrow,
it right now.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it is. It's annoying. Kid. And it almost came across like at the time I was like, okay, well, like, is he maybe mentioning something that he can't talk about on camera? Maybe. But no, it definitely wasn't.
I don't know.
Because of how red faced and avoidant he was with Shohei, I was like, is he gonna ask Shohei out?
I was wondering what was happening here, but damn it, he's annoying.
Yeah, like all he says here is, hey, I want to talk to you about something, but not tonight. Even though we're here in a spot where it's just the two of us, and this would probably be a pretty good time to talk about whatever I need to talk about, can we not talk about it tonight? I just want to let you know that.
Gosh, Burns when he's just like, I know you guys know I was going to take my driving test, but like, I will tell you guys another time.
Dude, I think Yama and the panel sufficiently spanked him here for this. He's like, what if it's just a fucking fox? Oh, I got this cute fox on my phone. Don't worry, I'll show you tomorrow. You can't see it. It's so cute, though. Don't worry. Like, dude, calm the fuck down.
Just say it, you know? Like,
God.
This is straight out of high school.
Your teenager is showing.
It's so dumb. Yeah.
He is really, and it's the thing is, like, it's even wearing thin on Risako. He went from Mr. Right to Mr. What the fuck.
Yep. Mr. What the another fuck? Thing, the
turn.
Another thing the panel does in this next panel scene, the crab conspiracy.
Tori was wearing that dress, the crab colored dress. And how did that go? Crab theory here.
So the crab theory, Toke, we started was that Ruka bought the crabs. I think it was he realizes if he keeps walking sideways.
Crabs walk sideways.
I won't get anywhere in life. So I must walk forward.
Crab theory.
Oh my God.
Daily right now. What are your thoughts, Daily? Speak.
I just can't handle how deep that knowledge is. Like, I'm going to get that tattooed somewhere.
Yeah. Like, you're my angel.
Have to go.
Well, forward. When he was saying like the other theory that I had was like, he's leaving the house. He's 100% announcing he's leaving the house.
That was my major thought, too. Yeah. Was like, oh, he's going to say he's leaving, but why doesn't he just tell them they're by themselves on the roof right now? Yeah, why does it have to be tomorrow? Are you leaving tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that would be the reason that makes sense as to why he waited. Why he actually waited is really stupid in comparison.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking of this as an editor, right? This was a 45-ish, 47-ish minute episode, and rarely do I say these episodes like need to be shorter. But that whole scene on the roof could have been cut. They could have just cut straight to the next scene in the 76
cafe. They wanted to show how dumb Ruka is.
Ruka
That's all it conveys.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, but this is such a waste of time. Just like go to the point where he talks about the thing he talks about. Because don't get it twisted. He looks dumb in this next scene too.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
In 76 cafe, Ruka, he doesn't even have the chutzpah to say anything first. Shohei has to be like, so you wanted to talk about something?
I've been looking forward to this all fucking day since you wouldn't tell me on the roof yesterday. What is it?
And Shohei does his like nervous stoner laugh on the way into the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, I love it.
Oh my God.
I did notice it this time.
Yeah. So he prods Shohei, Ruka. Hey, Ruka, tell me what you want to talk about. And then we cut to the first floor of the room.
Before we get an answer, to build suspense.
Yeah,
we
see Risa, Kenny, and Kaori on the couch, and this is where Kaori is saying, I want to bring up the Tempura incident again. Obviously not saying Tempura incident, but that idea of his work ethic, because she worries that it's like he wants to do all of these things, but he's not motivated enough to be able to juggle all of those things.
My question is, do you think that she is, it's obviously bothering her, right? So do we think that she wants to clear the air and come to a common understanding on the subject with Shohei for friendship reasons or perhaps for romantic reasons?
Well, I think it's one of those things where now it's just like a friendship thing, but I think that's something that in her head she's going to have to iron out with him if she's going to continue to see him or if there's a chance that she'll see him as a romantic partner.
Because she does like him. Didn't she not say that already? Yep. We've known that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because keep in mind last week, they in the house were able to see episode one, which means this week in the house, they were able to see episode two, which was the Tempura incident. So I'm curious.
Fresh in her mind.
Oh, yeah, I'm curious
so
if she's
reminded
it.
Of that.
Yeah.
And now the social media is coming out and she can't help but read that shit too.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point. If I had to guess, I think that might be what it is.
Good point.
But who knows? So
she's worried that she wants to bring it up, but she doesn't want to make him mad. And this is where I will give Shohei his props here. He's not the kind of person, and Kenny knows that, and he tells her, like, Shohei doesn't get mad, you know, when you bring that up to him. He's very calm, very measured about it. And we saw that when he went with Haruka to the ramen place after they went to the driving range. And so he's cool about it. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, he'll talk about it openly. So props to him for that.
He might say old people need to die, but otherwise, he's pretty chill about it.
Otherwise, it's fine. It's
he
fun.
Said it once. I wonder if he'll say it again. I hope not. It wasn't a good look.
Die.
It was pretty bad.
The crab theory. Look. You know, back to that, though. Tori's wearing that outfit, and she was proud to be part of the crab.
Dude, conspiracy. I need a screenshot of her, like, pleading out her dress, just saying, I'm happy to be associated with the crab theory. Like, that's just such a perfect no
I
context.
I love that.
There,
so
it was such a bright red dress.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, that I guess whenever they go to, it was going to be Chawari, but now they're going to Shibamata. Kaori is going to ask Shohei about his work ethic. So that will be a very interesting date. Can't wait to see that.
Look forward to that.
Yes. And then we set up another interesting date here where Kaori goes up to bed. But before Risuko leaves, she asks Kenny, hey, can you teach me how to drive? Which I don't know if y'all remember, but that's something she asked Ruka to do way before.
Ooh.
But now it's like, actually, never mind. Yeah. I don't want Ruka. I want Kenny.
I did not realize that. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. And Kenny, of course.
Weird how she asked him, because it was like, come over here.
She's like, Kenny, can you come over here, please?
She could have easily walked over.
Yeah. Like, are you his mom?
Well, I mean, she parkours for a living. You know, the less she needs to move, you know, maybe she just doesn't want to, you know what I mean?
She's conserving her strength.
She just needs to do a Black Panther and just jump from car to car road.
That's safe.
You don't need to drive.
But yeah, of course, Kenny suggests, hey, let's drive to the beach.
Let's get away.
Yep.
Yo, I am excited about that. That's going to be a bathing suit date. They won't get in the beach.
Mm.
We'll see.
Oh, boy.
And then we come back to 76 Cafe. I hate Ruka. I've always not liked him. But this
I've
is like...
I've never liked him.
This is just bad.
This is bad all the way around. This illustrates everything that I don't like about him. So I knew he was not hiding what he was going to say. I could tell exactly what he was going to say when he asked Shohei how he felt about Kaori. I knew exactly where this was going.
Yep, I knew exactly where this was going. And I'm like, listen, dude, I'm just this better be curtailed by saying you're leaving the house.
I like her.
No, I was waiting. I was like, this could still mean that he wants to ask out Shohei.
Oh, man.
It could. Yeah,
that's true.
It could, but it didn't.
It didn't. And I do think that Shohei's answer here is kind of surprising. I didn't expect him to say, I don't think I see her romantically. He's very much just, I think she's a friend. She's a good friend, but just a friend.
Same. I was surprised by that because he's drawn to her strongly. Now you're just a friend. What Nani the fuck? What happened?
Nani the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, you know, first impressions they can change, right?
Sure.
But at this point, this is where, you know, like since Shohei says I want to see her as a friend, I see her as a friend. I want her to flourish in the world. Ruka feels, I guess, a weight lifted off his shoulder because. To him, that's the green light for cool. I can go after.
Yeah, because that's totally going to work out.
Where did this come from?
Dude, something happened on that trip, man. He must have had a conversation with his family. His grandma probably has influence on this. Because here's the thing. Anyone that Ruka dates, you are going to be competing with his grandma and his mom. He's that kind of guy. He's like a behind the apron kind of guy. Kind of kid, I should say. And this was reeking of I'm searching for my mother dog. And I was like, you motherfucker. Like, he was looking, he's like, I really like where she's going. She's really mature. I really want to see her succeed. I'm drawn to her now. And it probably has, nothing to do with the fact that Risako and Haruka have shifted focus here. I mean, we didn't talk about it yet, but he was blinking very heavily at the table, very nervously, when Risako was asking Kenny out in front of him. It was a shock to him. So he's like, panic mode. What do I do now? I already blew it with these two chicks.
Yep.
It's just shocking to me that he even admits, like, I've never, like, talked to her one-on-one. Ever.
You child man.
Yeah. Look, as much
It's like, she's so accessible as far as, like, talking to her. Because she's so nice. Like, just talk to her.
And I really hate Ruka's justification for this. Because he says, I've never spoken to her. one-on-one.
Which, we live together.
Huge red flag. This is going to crash. By the way, if you declare that you love someone, well, he didn't say love, but you know, you have a crush on someone you've never actually spoken to one-on-one, pump the brakes, you child. But
you child.
But he, like the way he describes it, he says, "I respect Kaori a lot. She feels different from the other two, and I want to see her flourish in the world." Bro, I think you just like her art. I think you just like, yeah. I think you just like Foxco. I don't think you know.
And she's the only girl
have
that
a crush
like,
on her.
Doesn't not like you anymore. Yes,
that's the kicker, right? That's exactly what it is.
Has she? Yeah, and he's just it's reeking of desperation, right? But has Kaori, help me remember, like expressed ever anything other than friendship towards him, like romantic?
She doesn't even really talk about
him. Like they really no.
I don't think she's expressed anything about Ruka toward Ruka.
I am praying, please, to the Terrace House gods out there, please let him ask her out, and please let her shut him down right then.
And then the next day. I'm announcing that I'm leaving the house, guys.
Just like Arisa to
Tal, so I'm leaving.
I need a good line when she shuts this down. Please don't go on a date. Please don't go on a date.
Dude, you know what I really, really want? I want Kaori just to be like working on some art in the kitchen on the table. Ruka walks in. They have a little bit of small talk and he's like, "Hey, so I've been thinking, like, do you want to go on a date?" And I want her to laugh the way Risako laughed at glasses picking date from OND. Oh, yes, I want that.
Yes. I mean, it's a similar thing. Like, we've never talked before. I mean, like, oh, man. This needs to blow up in his face. He needs to get spanked for this because I don't know if, like, maybe the editors were, like, thinking, like, oh, this is going to be a big revelation. This is going to be a big bomb for drama. Really, all it did was just cement the fact that Ruka is still developing as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not doing a great job at it right now.
Oh, 100%.
That's fair. That's fair.
He is naive.
God, I'm so glad that the Ruka stock is going down. It makes me so happy.
It is crashing. It makes me so happy. It's crashing. Look at this cute fox.
Yeah. What? Wait.
Oh,
Foxco.
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 Yeah. The conspiracy is real.
Boom.
Oh, man. The panelists are prediction people at best. Like, they're prophets.
Prediction people.
That's where my brain went first. Not profits. It had two other P words before profits.
You prediction silly people. Prediction people, you.
You know those prediction people in the Bible?
Wow. Lost prediction people, the band?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I think that wraps us here on week 7 of T20.
That wraps it on Ruka's dating career.
Yeah, that wraps it on Ruka's. Well, like, I can't wait for Ruka to leave. I mean, obviously, everyone's going to leave at some point, but oh, man.
I just want to ask here, do you guys think that they will actually go on a date? Or do you think Kaori will point out the absurdity of even thinking?
I think they'll go out on a date.
The way.
Yeah. Only because Kaori would feel bad otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, people go out together without having to have romantic intentions, right? Because like going out on a date is like, hey, we never talk, let's go get food.
They do. I agree with that, but we're talking about Ruka here. Look at how big a deal he made it just to talk to Haruka, right?
So, yeah,
he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to do this casually, so he's gonna make it a big deal. And that's what I'm wondering is, how is Kaori gonna give it a shot, or she's gonna be like, what, glasses?
So if he can muster up the courage to ask her on a glasses picking date, I think realistically, I think she's going to go because she's too nice, in the same way that she's very passive with Haruka. It's not going to go anywhere, though. I think she's going to do the same thing. If she's going to be very, I'm going to give you bad conversation until you realize that maybe you should stop bothering me.
Dude, I don't like that personality trait if that's what she does. I just rather prefer her be straight up. But I would enjoy the train wreck of them going out on a date. So it's a give or take here.
It'd be good TV.
Yeah, he's going to come away.
I want it.
What if he comes away thinking like, yeah, that date went really well when it didn't?
Oh, that'd be the best case scenario.
He just like misreads it.
Eek.
Yikes. All right, guys.
Ouch.
Well, we have nothing left to do but go and watch it now and see if it happens next episode. We're getting there.
Yeah. We're going to get there. Next episode, episode 8, Passive Boys. Such a weird name.
Passive
I can't
boys.
Wait.
Huh. But Kenny sounds like a passive boy.
I think all the boys here maybe are a little passive.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Shohei's been the most aggressive from episode one. That's about it.
It's fizzled now. Yeah. And so now the most magnetic force pulling anyone together, it seems like, is Ruka to Kaori now. Seems to be the strongest attraction.
Right. Kenny's just oblivious.
He's like, eh, whatever happens. Yeah, she's cute.
Yeah. But that wraps us up for this week's episode. If you have any questions, comments, theories, anything you think we missed from this week's episode, please email any and all of those things to us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. We'll be back next Tuesday. We're going to cover episode 8. We're getting close, guys. We're getting close to the end of this part. I don't know about you guys, but I've been feeling like walking on the internet is so hard because spoilers and just
spoilers about. Sucks, man. Like, I want to be able to just like look at all the stuff, but it's like, man, the podcast.
Tag your spoilers, y'all.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It is a minefield out there when you're trying to do a Terrace House podcast and try and keep your reactions and your predictions sincere, you know, and fresh.
Yeah. But, you know, we're getting there. 5 more weeks right before American Thanksgiving. Get excited.
Yeah.
But we'll just have marching to get on. There 1 week at a time.
Marching on.
This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itekimasu.
Follow us on Instagram at TadaimaGram, on Twitter at TadaimaPod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.